Welcome to the PPC show brought to you by AdStage. I am Paul Wicker.
And I am JD Prater.
And today is May 3rd. We're going to get right into headlines. Although I'm lying, we're not going to get into headlines because first I have to attack you publicly for starting a second podcast without me and breaking my heart.
I know, I'm cheating on you, Paul. Right. So we launched the Grow with Quora podcast. So, you know, I think part of it is, you know, as you go and share and grow the world's knowledge, sometimes that looks a little bit different than text. And so we're going to try to get into the ear holes and give people what they want and what they need by interviewing some really smart marketers and how they're leveraging the platform.
Terrible plug. Get into some people's ear holes.
Ear holes, man. Share of ear. Share of ear.
Well, I hear you're actually going to pull some pretty impressive guests because you have the brand of Quora behind you. So who do you have? I did see you did one with Joe Martinez. I listened to. I gave you thumbs up on SoundCloud. I liked it wherever I could. It was very entertaining. Joe apparently found Quora because of his old guitar case. And so give it a listen.
To you. Yes.
But who else? I know you have, no offense to Joe Martinez, but I know you have some luminaries coming up.
Yeah, we've got some luminaries. We got like the, you know, former CEO and co-founder of LiveRamp coming on. We've got Jason Lemkin, who's a VC, former CEO of EcoSign, you know, sold to Adobe for millions of dollars. He's written like over 3,100 answers. So we're going to understand how to actually write answers and how, like, what's his process. So I'm pretty excited to have, you know, different perspectives of how people use Quora. So we're going to have writing, there's going to be advertising, there's going to be marketing, there's going to be like SEO people. So it's going to be a variety of different ways to use the Quora platform to hopefully, you know, drive you some business results.
Nice. All right. Well, you have one user, so, or one listener. Yeah. You've gotten to my ear hole.
I saw your comment on the Quora blog. That was my first Quora blog announcement, like to my name. I've written some like ghostwriting, but, and then Paul gets on there and is like, WTF, man, what are you doing?
Right. I do believe I said you're having a podcast affair.
That's what it is.
Because I felt like that would be vague enough that people will be like, what is he talking about? Of course, all the best podcast hosts do like 5 podcasts. It was totally normal. I wish you all the best. I'm sure it was going to be a wonderful show. I'll write something nicer on your post. Sorry. So let's talk about all the news that's happening in good old ad tech. So there's a bunch of conferences. Facebook had their F8 conference. Microsoft had theirs. Microsoft, who is now rebranding as Microsoft. So they're taking Bing Ads and bringing the brand back to Microsoft. So if you've been in this for a while, you've watched them flip back and forth a few times.
I know. I like this one because, I mean, so again, it's like, no, we're Bing Ads, you know, and it was like Google AdWords. And then Google became Google Ads and they're like, no, we're Microsoft Ads, you know, and you're like, it was only a matter of time before they brought this one back. But yeah. I like the rebrand. I like how they're positioning themselves with the AI. Jenny wrote a great post on stuff that they have that Google doesn't have, right? And I think that one was a really thought-provoking article that she wrote. It's no longer just about parody anymore. It's like, how do we outdo and outperform?
Which is, again, it's going back to probably like the 2006 to 2010 era when Microsoft was really trying to compete with Google AdWords and really arguing that like we should be just as important. It is funny, like you said, you know, Google rebrands back to Google, Microsoft rebrands back to Microsoft. But for Microsoft, really, their brand was in the toilet for a while. You know, they were sued for, you know, antitrust. So, you know, they had a lot of negative kind of stories about them in the 90s. So I could see how, in the early 2000s, so I could see how they were like, let's get away from that brand for this new consumer product, Bing Search. They did all that effort. They put all that effort into rebrand. So it's kind of rolling back a lot of the Bing stuff. But, I mean, Bing never became like a brand anyone cared about. So probably a smart move. Microsoft Advertising does have over 500,000 advertisers on the platform. And like you mentioned, Ginny's article, there were 10 features that she counted that were available only in Microsoft. The two that stood out to me that I think were good changes, because I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I was like, no one cares, Bing. You tried this before. Like, all anyone wants to do is copy-paste their Google stuff into Bing and never look at it again. It's going to be very hard to convince people to take time out of their marketing day to spend on Bing when 80% of their budget is going to Google and there's a ton of work to still do on Google. That said, then I looked at the list and I said, oh, video extensions? That's true. That's a good one. Video is on trend. Why not have video extensions? And I'm sure Google will have them soon, so why not be first? And then the other one, which was audience ad customization. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's these ad customizers, change your ad, so you can show different ad copy based on keyword. Now, with Microsoft, you'll be able to change it based on the audience, which is also very forward-thinking to the direction we're headed in.
Yeah, I really like that audience ad. That one caught mine as well, my eye. But I want to go back. 500,000? Like, I just thought that would be way higher. Like, people, what are you doing? It's like two clicks. Like, come on. Import from AdWords. And then you go in and you, like, change your UTMs and you're like, you're done. Like, you're literally done. Oh, man. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they don't have over a million and 2 million, 3 million. What, Facebook announced 7 million, you know, advertisers? And I'm thinking, 500,000? Like, really, guys? Anyway.
Yeah, I agree. That's true. I assume almost everyone on Google is on Microsoft. But
I'm with you.
I have to stop. And my brain still AdWords. Like, I don't know if you've been writing, you know, now you're Mr. Quora. But I'm still writing a lot of emails about Google AdWords. And it's annoying when I can't differentiate between like Google Analytics and like AdWords, or you know, Google search and AdWords. So now it's always like Google Ads and Google Analytics. I'm just like writing Google 1,000 times, and I liked when I could just say AdWords and everybody knew, okay, you're talking about the paid ad stuff. Now I'm always like, no, Google Analytics. So it's annoying for product managers who have to write a lot of stuff about Google. Let's see, is there anything Microsoft? No, that's good.
No, that's good.
And then Google, while we're on search, I should point out Google had a major API issue, not just API issue, like data issue. So data from the last day of last month, which is April 30th, and the first day of May, the data is wrong. So we've had numerous customers yell at us to be like, hey, I have zero cost. I think some people are seeing like impressions but no spend, and people are seeing all kinds of weird stuff in the native UIs. And also, obviously, if you use AdStage, our data is wrong. So people yell at us, and then at least we can send this nice article from Ginny over there to say, look, it's not us. It's not us this time. But so there's no word from them. They haven't said anything about it. It's been, I don't know. Have you heard anything with your core connections?
No. I mean, I did. I was checking. It looks like on Twitter they are tweeting out it's still not resolved. So hold off on those monthly reports. I'm sure you're going to have some unhappy clients that aren't going to look at those reports, but still, hold off. Hold off. Wait a couple more days.
Yeah, maybe we should put out a message to our customers that data is wrong. I assume everybody's plugged in to Google's news, but maybe not.
They're plugged into us, Paul.
That's
the
true.
The PPC show.
That's true. If you're listening to this, I will get this up by the end of the day. Hopefully Google has finished it, like resolved the issue, but if not, go stop your reports from going out. Or at least tell the folks who get them that Google has an issue and send them the link. We'll put that article in our newsletter, so send them the link. Also Google News, Eric Schmidt, who was the CEO of Google for a long time, then he became a member of the Alphabet board. He is officially retiring.
Yeah, end of an era, huh? Like, you know, CEO for like 10 years. He's been the executive chairman, and he's walking away. Man.
Yeah, he, I mean...
Woo, walking away a rich man.
I mean, he was there for Google's explosion.
Yes.
That's true. He's not walking away. He's flying off on his magic gold-filled carpet.
To his private island. But here was the best part of this. He's going to remain as a technical advisor with a salary of $1.
Hmm. But benefits. It's really for the benefits. I wonder why...
Oh,
is there some tax reason? Like, why do you even do that? But or you just
yeah.
But yeah, he was critical. Yeah. I remember when Larry and Sergey were running around, kind of like classic startup young founders, not really knowing what they were doing, saying all kinds of crazy stuff. The product, I mean, they always had Google Search, which was such a good product that it almost didn't matter anything else they did. It was just, if you have the number one search engine in the world for like, you know, year after year, it's hard to lose. But they were starting to figure out some ways to make some boneheaded decisions, and then they need to make money as well, and that's when Eric came in and kind of turned it into a business, and then he ran it for 10 years. No scandals for the most part, so good job with that. And then when Larry came back, was it Larry or Sergey? One of them came back.
Larry.
Larry came back
as CEO. Yeah.
Which he's the quietest CEO. We talk about CEOs all the time. Have we seen Larry in Congress testify? Have we seen him say anything ever since he came back, like 4 years ago or whatever it was?
Always Sergey.
And just
yeah, they were saying too with this one. Like, what's so interesting is I didn't realize this that Schmidt was also kind of the one that handled those relationships with the politicians, right? He was the one that was kind of this, as they put, de facto ambassador. So Google losing this, and now you've got regulators kind of coming down, or at least you know thinking about you, and it could be interesting to see what happens.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that's
all right.
That's the search world. Let's flip over to Facebook. They had their big F8 conference and announced a bunch of stuff. I mean, a lot of consumer product updates. So Facebook Messenger. Well, this one's kind of consumery, but if you do Facebook Messenger, you can. Well, it's in beta, soon to be released to everybody. You can do lead gen templates, or actually, book the appointments through the lead gen template. And it essentially is a form that comes across like a chatbot, right? Thanks for your interest. What type of clothes are you into? And then it essentially walks them through filling out a form, and then you can like hook it up to a calendar and book a calendar spot. Actually, I think I've seen one of these in the wild. I'm not entirely sure, but I think I got one the other day. So
I've never seen one, but it's like, where can we put more ads? And, it's bike performance marketing. I think the example that they used for this was General Motors, so big car company. They were able to generate 3,000 leads in 8 weeks. And I was like, wow, like, good for you.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, there's work. Sephora was in there too. A ton of in-store makeup sessions they had booked through it. Although, like, those are major brands. So if you're like, running paid for a smaller brand, I still don't know how much traffic goes to Facebook. Because I have friends ask me, when they're starting a company, do you think I should run my like kind of CS and my support through Facebook? Because they have all the stuff with Messenger and WhatsApp. Also, they introduced WhatsApp, really kind of adding a bunch of features for small businesses to communicate with their customers and put like product information into their profile and stuff like that. So Facebook's trying to do all this stuff, but I also feel like Facebook's user base is like leaving. So I don't know what to tell them. I tell them, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but
I wouldn't hitch my wagon to that horse.
Well, because I figure the older demographic is still going to email or call you, and the younger demographic is not going to be on Facebook. So,
no, I think I'm on Instagram, right?
Right.
Anyway, but Instagram, I mean, hold on, we got a couple here. Bigger, Facebook focusing on privacy? Wow. Like, okay. In groups? That's interesting. But Instagram also testing no like buttons. And then we also got some new ads coming specifically for influencers. So that one I thought was really interesting. So no like buttons, but yet we're going to give you your own ad unit. So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, testing no like buttons.
Testing.
And then with Instagram, it's just more of this e-commerce in-app experience, which totally makes sense for Instagram. Giving creators the ability to put on a Rolex and then tag it, and then someone can buy the Rolex right from the creator account. Creator gets paid. Right now, it's only for like the Kardashians and a bunch of other people I've never heard of that apparently are like these people, these internet influencers and creators that create this content. So, but I was thinking like Instagram, just every time we talk about them, they're adding more and more e-commerce features, and they're doing it very methodically. So it doesn't feel like the old Facebook move fast, break things. It feels the opposite. It feels like move slow, don't break things. Very incremental changes to the e-commerce experience, because I keep being like, okay, just roll this stuff out. Like, really, like this month, the same thing that we've been working on for 9 months will now be available for like this for influencers, and now it's available on this ad unit. In the old days, it would just be like everywhere.
Yeah, I think for this one too. I think again, it's like we know that brands are spending a ton of money on influencer marketing, and I think they're just like, well, how do we measure this? How do we get the ROI? And so Instagram's like, well, we can just build them an ad unit if you're going to give us more money. So I see it as a way to also get more like measurable and more transparency for all these influencers. If I were them, I would like welcome this experience. I think it's going to be really good.
I also want to start a, I don't know even how to start. I had an Instagram channel so that I could get some of this money. I think I could definitely sell some something. I don't know what I'd say, like kale smoothie recipes or something like that. Or
just that's right.
Bullet blenders, you know, something like that.
Come be a Quora influencer and just write and share your knowledge, Paul.
That's okay. All right. Wait, do I get a rep share?
Would you rather be an influencer?
On anything?
Sure. Sure. I'll give you all the revenue that you get.
Okay. Deal. You heard it here, folks. I am launching the new Quora influencer program with a 100% rep share deal on zero revenue. Speaking of Quora, though, you do have some other stuff going on that's real,
yeah.
Not just my made-up influencer program.
I think the big one that people were really excited about, I think it was like one of my like most popular tweets of all time, which is saying a lot. No, I'm kidding. It's a Google Tag Manager. So we finally announced that it is complete. It's built. It's out there. You can now install your Quora Ads pixel using Google Tag Manager with a native integration. So when you go in to your Quora Ads Manager, you'll be able to select your pixel. You can select third party. We'll give you a quick snippet of code, which you'll need to put in there whenever you go into Google Tag Manager. So we played around with it, and I was able to set it up in like less than 3 minutes. So that was, you know, for you guys that are faster and more savvier than me, I bet you can do it under a minute. So go out there, have fun, integrate, and then set up all your audiences and your events and all your triggers and have some fun.
Nice. Have fun setting up your pixel. You know you're a PPC nerd when you have fun setting up pixels.
That's right.
So to touch on Twitter as well, Twitter, I think it was 18% growth we just saw in their numbers from their quarterly. So Twitter's back on the growth path. And they announced a bunch of media partnerships, really doubling down on video. So let's see.
Yeah.
Some of the names are Univision, Wall Street Journal, Live Nation, MTV. And they still have all those like sporting relationships with, like, I think it's NFL, NBA, you know, most of the major leagues. So major sports leagues. I don't know if it's actually the major leagues. I don't think they have one with MLB. But, you know, not surprising. Twitter really going strong to try to become the place you consume video content that's not a television.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they're, like, really positioning this, like you were talking about, consuming video, but in this, like, real-time conversational piece. And so I've been watching it, and I've been, like, really just fascinated with how they're able to, one, like, generate so much ad revenue from this, which is kind of surprising in my opinion, but then, like, also just to keep growing their platform while numbers stay flat and then keep bringing on more publishers. And I'm like, but what, how do you guys do this? So they must have a really good narrative, really good numbers. I've been impressed. Even as a user, it's been kind of fun. I don't really ever watch live stuff. Have you ever watched? I've tried to watch like a football game or a baseball game, and it felt weird. But
yeah, on the bus,
yeah,
I watched some basketball games last year, or maybe I think it was, I watched a basketball game last year, so it's been a while. I had just, like, you know, connectivity. It was, like, kind of crappy. So, because I was on, like, crappy bus Wi-Fi, too. So I haven't really watched much. I actually, the what gets me from live video is Instagram, when they show you, like, the first 20 seconds of the video, and then they do, you know, to keep watching, go to Instagram Live or whatever it's called. That's got me maybe 3 or 4 times. That's a good product trick.
All right.
Have you not seen that? I mean, the cat's like in midair, and you're like, is the cat going to land? I got to see.
You're such a sucker.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's so clickbaity. It's so clickbaity, but it's, I mean, it's like,
I love that you know that it's clickbaity. I love that you know it and you still do it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you come here with no shame and then you admit it. So, Paul, thank you for being vulnerable.
Oh, like, thank you. I'm Paul Wicker, and I click on clickbait. It's been about 10 years I've been clicking on clickbait.
Welcome to the show.
I know I shouldn't, but I can't stop. Speaking of clickbait, Tumblr.
Of clickbait, yeah, perfect.
The segue writes itself. You should do this one because Ginny's tweet is perfect, and I'll let you deliver it.
Oh, gosh, this one's hysterical. All right, so if we remember Tumblr. Do you guys remember Tumblr? I used to love the idea of Tumblr. It really was this like micro blogging, and I think we can like give them a lot of credit for GIFs being so popular. They really kind of helped make it that way. But so Yahoo bought Tumblr, and I think they were really going to try to make it into this amazing ads platform. And it just like never really came to fruition like with most things at Yahoo. But Verizon bought Yahoo, which included Tumblr. And now Verizon's like, hey, can we get rid of this? And so they're trying to offload, or I should say unload Tumblr. And, you know, it's, again, it's like, well, really? Like, you, who's going to buy it? So now I'm interested who's going to buy it, what's going to happen. But our friend Jenny Marvin over at Search Engine Land, Marketing Land, had one of the best tweets that I've seen. And it was, has Pornhub bought Tumblr yet? I got a good laugh out of that one. It was pretty funny.
I gave her like, I mean, Tumblr, I never was super into Tumblr, but I know it was kind of like the alt, I don't know, it was like Reddit before Reddit, you know, it's kind of like where it was more edgy and a little more unfiltered and there was no like content moderators. And of course, to Jenny's point, there was a lot of porn on it apparently, because I remember there were stories about like when Tumblr then started kicking off, like, I don't know if it was just straight up porn or stuff that was close enough, and everybody went crazy. Like, that's all that people go to Tumblr for anymore. So that tweet was really on point. But yeah, it seems like with Verizon, so Verizon bought Yahoo, and with that, they, like you mentioned, got AOL and Tumblr and all this stuff. And they created Oath and tried to have this big, you know, we're advertising ecosystem play. And then I think they, like, you know, looked under the covers and realized they had very little assets, very little traffic. Everything they had was like, you know, 20 years old. It was on its in the decline. And now they're just, the nice thing about Verizon is they're like, we'll just sell it. We make so much money on wireless and, you know, mobile that we don't need to pretend these brands have value like Yahoo did, because they were in this constant like battle to prove that they're relevant to try to get their stock price up after they made like tragic mistakes and not selling the company. So it's kind of nice to see Verizon just be like, yeah, write down the brand value of Yahoo by like $1 billion or $2 billion or whatever it was. Oh yeah, Tumblr, yeah, it's a piece of shit. Can we just sell it? Does anybody want this thing? Because we don't want it, because it's useless.
So Jenny may be onto something. So Pornhub has actually commented on a potential. So I found this on Forbes. Corey Price, VP over at Pornhub, says there's obvious synergies between the two brands and value Pornhub could derive from Tumblr. We're extremely interested in acquiring the platform and are very much looking forward to one day restoring it to its former glory with non-safe for work content.
I can't believe we're saying the words Pornhub in normal sentences. Like, it's been normalized, like, that where the CEO has actually used the word synergy in a way that's not, like, a joke.
Oh, man.
Wow. Okay. Well. 2019. Hey, soon we're going to be in 2020. It's going to be weird that we're going to be in 2020s. Very soon. And the other weird thing is people who were born in the year 2000, we'll be able to drink in, like, a year. Blows my mind.
Man. Wow.
Okay, last story, Apple. Then I know you got to get to the big boss's birthday party and eat some ramen noodles, so you're on a very hard deadline. Pass the cake. Apple.
All right.
Yeah. Milton. Exactly. That's my Milton reference. Good job. Okay. So what's the news with Apple? I'll admit I did not read this one, so you have to tell everybody about it.
Yeah, so if you remember, so we've talked about Apple's ITP, you know, it's like their internet tracking protocol thing that they've been doing. Well, now they have a 2.2 update that rolled out April 24th, and so it's currently being tested. And that the reason why that this is significant is, you know, Facebook and Google have come out and kind of maneuvered around it, where they're still able to measure traffic, attributing ads to site visits and online purchases, and that was kind of defeating what Apple's trying to do. So within this update, what they're trying to ensure is that companies are not using workarounds to sidestep their anti-tracking feature. And so hopefully protect you as the user as you search around the world.
Apple really has taken a stand as kind of the anti-tech company in terms of privacy. So they're not like Facebook and Google, and they're not stealing your data. And it's, I think on Pivot, not on Pivot. I do this every week now. On the other podcast with Scott and Kara. Recode. No.
Recode. No, Pivot. And then oh, it is Kara Pivot. Has Recode. Yeah. Recode Decode.
They often talk about woke as a strategy. Woke is the new business strategy. So for Apple, this is their woke strategy about, you know, now they're on this kind of privacy is important, privacy matters, we won't do tracking, and they're making it part of their platform because it's both strategic for them, because it's something that their competitors don't have, and it's also kind of on trend in terms of like a kind of, you know, macro trend that suddenly everybody is very concerned about. I'm not saying they shouldn't be, but okay. Before you leave, I want to ask you a trivia question, and then we can end.
All right.
In the Democratic field of all the people running for president, who do you think spent the most money last week on advertising on both Facebook and Google?
Geez, I have no idea.
I'll give you a hint. It's a he.
He? Oh, that narrows it down. So let's say Biden.
You are correct.
Oh, wow.
He announced pretty recently, so not too surprising, but he spent $406,000 on Facebook.
Whoa, in a week?
In a week. And on Google, he spent, let's see, $388 total, $49,000. I don't know. He spent something last week on Google. So top spenders in the Democratic race are, at least for last week, on Facebook: Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. Then you start getting into people that aren't as popular, like Andrew Yang, Governor Inslee, and Mayor Pete.
Mayor Pete!
Yeah, his last name's like Buttigieg.
I can't pronounce it. Yeah, Mayor Pete.
Yeah, his partner, he's the first openly gay presidential candidate, and his partner like had a tweet about how to pronounce both their names, because he did take his name or hyphenated or something like that. And I read it, and I remembered it was like, and he had something like, say these words, like Buttigieg. I think it was Buttigieg. I don't know. Someone can correct me, because I'm sure I'm getting it wrong. But Mayor Pete is what people have started referring to him as. So he spent $55,000. So those are the top spenders on Facebook and Google. It's pretty similar. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anybody different. Okay, that's your trivia for the week. Go eat your cake. If you want to sign up for the newsletter from AdStage, head over to blog.adstage.io and make sure you sign up. And if you want to check out JD's new podcast, what do you do, JD?
Grow with Cora. And we are on wherever you are listening to this podcast. We're there.
Mind blown. All right, enjoy your week, everyone.
See ya.